is also a sound sculpture artist, because I'm working with images that you can touch with the real forms, and so sound sculptures, but also the images created in the minds of people. So I can start with my statement, my artist statement. My artist statement is, we can be more aware of our being sound performers in our own sound habitat. The element I first want to say something about the element of awareness. As an artist, I'm doing what I'm calling tactile sonic interface interventions in the public or the semi-public space. I'm creating also awareness by the people by creating installations and sound sculptures, what I call also wooden sound blanket objects that are. I'm also making multi-channel installations, and mostly I compose touch soundscapes for them. Touch soundscapes that trigger multiple senses in a not normal way, in an unexpected way, to make people aware, to rethink and to retune. So it's not like John alarming a pitch of volume. It's more like bring another sound or a slightly other sound in into the sound environment. So mostly into the context in which I want to present something. And another, I mostly present my projects in the of my installations in the form of projects. And it's in my projects, it's part of my projects is that I'm inviting, mostly I often invite people to interact with my installations, but they have an interface quality, so of direct contact, to make direct contact with it, but also to interact in the project, so by interviewing, by asking people about sounds, for example, and for their meaning of sounds, and sometimes I ask them to work with me or to help me, and I'm always fond of their stories in the context of the theme I'm working on. So, and also the historical parts of their stories, and often I also do a research in that context to look and for the historical soundscapes, and later to combine the story with the soundscapes, and in the way that the public later can immersed with it in a way. For me, is also important that the public is itself is always responsible. Also, the public is also you can also see them as the performers. For me, the performers are everybody. So. When you are walking through the street, you are performing sound in that street. Performers can also be musicians, so in an artistic way. And it's also it triggers also the idea of when you are getting more conscious of the and aware of the of beautiful sounds or the creative aspects of sounds of the soundscape, then you later can also have the possibility to make compositions with it, for example, or do instant compositions while you are walking, for instance, and that's and so I call it the response ability of the public, and the responsibility has also to do with the physical responsibility. So when you, for example, have or are deaf, it will change your hearing and the way you are here. So you, then you are hearing with your skin, and you are sounds, you are receiving sounds in another way. And when you have bad hearing, and so, and there's all kinds of filtering. And it's also your responsibility to be responsible for your own act in that way. And you be always too responsible to interact with my installation. So I never go to say to people, come on, and take action. No, that's their own responsibility. And it's that's the thing. And the whole thing is what I'm already said this morning, that is can be seen as ongoing research in what I call the multisensorial hearing perspective. Another term I often use is sound habitat. And here's my statement. The element of the intervention, the interrupting and the intervening, and that has also to do with the habits of the people and the rules and spaces. And by doing interventions, you can do interventions in several ways. Retuning, re-listening, and re-hear, so the sound of it, rethinking about the sound habitat. The sound habitat, for me, is a wider aspect than soundscape, because it has more to do with interaction and identity, the person or the public, and after that, also the way we're listening and our listening habits, hearing, you can read, touching habits, tactile habits, and moving habits. And of course, the performers are also the designers of the sound habitat, and they come from all kinds of, how do you say it, all kinds of people, architects, and of course, the tuned environment. Here I made a scheme of the note of the sound habitat, and it's all this is the time aspect of the sound habitat, and also for me important the tactile elements of the environment, and because tactility is also for me an important element of the senses, and it also has also everything to do with hearing and reflection and absorption, and so that the buildings, the parks, they all you have of course you have texture. It is more an architectural term, and the tactile is more. For me, it has to do with touching, but it's also to do with also with cloth, course, there's also the element of the sound habitat of people interacting and also the interacting with the nature and the flora and the fauna. And you all see the design of the sound habitat. You have the public space, and it's also interesting that you, there are a lot of cars. The sound is alarming systems, etc., etc. And on the other side, I heard it before this morning in a reading. You have the private space of people who are choosing their own. Soundscape also, and then the multisensorial hearing perspective. I hope it's readable. I think it's a bit too small. Oh, wait a minute! I can make. This way. I think it's just readable. I hope so. The multisensorial aspect. Of course, you have the resonance, the direct, the indirect, the absorbing, the reflecting, the objects, the sound objects, and the sound source. And the tactile, the haptic, and the touchable. The audible, the visual, and the smell, and it comes all together in the what you can call the sensorium, where there's the sense information is collected. And there were some scientists, Ernst and Bultoff, in 2004. They did research on that, and also they write about the sensory combination. And that's for to maximize information of all the information of the senses coming together, and the sensory integration. That's to reduce the variance to increase reliability. Of course, we have some scientists say we have talk about sound maps, but you also can talk about image maps, smell maps, touch maps, tactile maps, and there you have also sensations. And a little example, I told you about my supersonic soundscape shoes, and it was very interesting to first talk with a blind woman and what she experienced. And I talked about with her about hearing perspective, and with hearing perspective was really a combination of also of her tactile, in combination with her tactile senses. The tactility and the vibration. And before the multi-sensorial, that you have the sound vibrations, or it's called, earlier these days, it's the resonances. So that's the sound vibrations, the light vibrations, and smell is also a vibration. So that's the. And then you have the. We are coming to the hearing, and for me, the multisensorial hearing perspective is listening is just part of that whole thing. So hearing is we do hear with our body, with our being, and we have the with the receptors, skin, hands, ears, organs, brains. And we also important is our vestibular system, our direction, balance, and our inner ear. And it's really all working together, because when I work and my hearing perspective is changing, and I walk here and my voice is changing, and still 6 minutes, it's okay. I do, so I hope hopefully you have read some more. But now we come to the listening, and so that's the perspective element, so the psychological, but also the social and the cultural, and then we come to what sounds do we like or dislike, what sounds do we create and design, what sounds do we expect, what signs are useful in a given situation, which signs fits in the context, what signs do we know, what memory associations will be triggered, and then you have sound memory in combination and sense memory. I have also done some installations and projects with, especially with the idea of reminiscences, in people's in old people's home, to let them hear soundscapes and to let them experience soundscapes, and then reminiscence all kind of memories. And also, with what sound do we feel at home? So, and then we come to my book project. Who was presented as a tactile sonic intervention in an artist project space in the south of Amsterdam, with touchable soundscapes and sound stories of neighbors about the meaning of feeling at home in relation with the sounds and soundscapes at home in their neighborhood. Visitors and neighbors could listen to and feel the soundscapes, sound stories outside at the window of the project space and inside. When touching the red wooden objects inside the project space, the public could hear and feel the sounds and the voices of the storytellers in a direct and intimate way. It triggered talks about personal sound memories, home sounds in the past, soundscapes in the neighborhood, changing city soundscapes, sounds spaces, listening habits, and the multisensorial hearing perspective. So for the project, I will now show. For the project, I interviewed people. I asked them concerning being at home, feeling at home in relation with sounds. What means being at home in your house? And what sounds contribute to the feeling at home? Which sounds belong to your home? Pleasant, unpleasant, favorite sounds? Which sounds do you miss? And which sounds disappeared? And what new sounds appeared instead? That was about the inner and the outer connection. Which sounds do you share with your neighbors? Heard sounds through the wall, in the corridors, on the staircase, in the street, in the neighborhood. Do you dislike them or do you like them? Which sounds contribute to the feeling at home in your neighborhood? Which sounds belong to your neighborhood and which not? Which sounds would you like to hear in your neighborhood? What were the first sounds you noticed when you're going to live in this city? When you were going to live in the city, this neighborhood and street? And also, what are your first sound memories belonging to your parental home? So, I asked that questions, and I also asked people to pronounce the words inspired from Heidegger about dwelling, thinking, and building. And in Dutch, it's called Boeien, bouwen, bin, ik ben, buur, that's neighbor, boenian, boon, wonen, ik woon. That's I dwell, I live. And there's a real, okay, I start the show.
Ik woon.
Bouwen.
Bin.
Bin.
Bouwen.
Ik ben.
Boer. Ik ben.
In de buurt.
Bouwen.
Bouwen.
Ik ben.
Ik ben. In de buurt.
Buur.
Ik ben.
Ik ben.
Ik ben.
Buur.
Ja.
Wat voor mij heel erg thuiskomen is, en dat is dan wel thuiskomen in de buurt als het wat kouder wordt, is als ik de verwarming aanzet, dan tikt die altijd heel erg. En dan heb ik echt het gevoel van, ja, ik kom thuis en mijn huis warmt op en ik ga zo meteen thee drinken of wat het ook mag zijn. Maar dat is voor mij echt thuiskomen. En echt thuis zijn.
Ja.
Ik woon.
Bin.
Ik buur.
Bin.
Ik woon in de buurt.
Wonen.
Ik
ben in de buurt.
Wonen.
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 En vanuit dat ik het niet prettig vind, eigenlijk in principe, zo'n remise. Dus ik denk ook, ze gaan tegenover. Dat is een heel knarsend geluid. Maar, dat ben ik toch aan het leren. Ja, dat ben ik toch aan het leren. Dat knarsende geluid in de nacht. En dat je weet wat het is en zo. Dat geeft toch ook iets leuks. Je weet wat het is en je kunt er ook andere dingen aan koppelen dan alleen maar iets knarsends en iets naars. Hè? Dus dat is even dat je de trap op en dan dat ik boven even loop op de overloop en hou ik wat raak.
Bin.
Wonen.
Buur.
In de buurt.
Bij mij thuis zijn hoort het lopen van de buren boven. Dat hoor ik af en toe. Je tuin weer openzetten, met de buren contact hebben, praten. Auto's die langs rijden, dat hoort gewoon bij mijn leefomgeving. En dat is een geluid waar je aan gewend raakt. En dat hoort bij mij thuis. Mensen voorbij zien lopen, bijvoorbeeld. Ja, dat is een beetje de sfeer van mijn thuis zijn, die ik voel en ervaar.
Boel.
Boel.
Als ik hier zit, dan hoor ik altijd de auto's op de Aalsmeerweg rijden. Ik hoor het ook altijd meteen als er file is op de Aalsmeerweg. Ja, als de file is, dat hoor je ook meteen, dan is het een heel ander geluid. Maar het geluid van die auto's die rijden, dat is op zich een heel kalmerend geluid. Dat is een soort van kabbelen van de zee op de achtergrond, wat er eigenlijk altijd is. Eigenlijk, ja, het is voor mij gewoon een geluid wat daarbij hoort.
Hier is nog een dwerg.
Ja? Oh ja, met een brilletje.
Ik had je niet meegeteld. Mama, nu snap ik het.
Ja? Wonen?
Wonen. Ik woon in de buurt.
Buur.
Okay. Is that all? Yeah. Now, there's another thing. This was just a project. It's on a small scale. And I did a proposal at the university, the Vrije Universiteit of Amsterdam, for to do a project like this with woolen listening objects and woolen listening points, so that students can still with the soundscape, with their own soundscape. And yeah, it's too a little. Time for to explain the whole project, and it's not sure if it's going to be happen. But what for? But in that new project, I also combined the element of identity of place and the element of identity of persons, because that's really different. And the identity of place in connection to the soundscapes, and also to the, for example, to the soundscapes of the past of the university, the building. So it's a polder, a wetland. It was a wetland before, so there it has possibilities for historical sounds also. And I'm going to create it in three layers. One is the historical layer. One is the now moment, and with stories and interactions and reactions of students and professors and all the users of the university. And and above that is the context of the soundscape of the future and maybe the future plans in. And so that will be mixed. It will give also ideas of how the soundscape is how people are aware of the soundscape, to make them aware and to create also talks and discussions about soundscape of the university with special faculties and the university as a whole. And so, yes.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Are there any comments? Yeah.
Hi, thanks. Interesting work. I'm interested in the larger diagram you put up. Just the ideas that you pointed out, which were integration and combination of sort of sensory information.
Yeah.
And what struck me when you were talking about it was just how fundamental to the discourse of most art practice the division of sensory information is. And so I was curious, like, meaning that people, you know, talk about fine art in the visual sense and music in a very auditory sense. And so I'm curious, like, are you using those as sort of techniques of a sort within your practice, or how does that work out for you?
The strategies. Yeah, for me, that's I read about it, and it's very interesting. So that's from my beginning point, and also a point towards to do for my research.
Mm.
So it's because in several. In this, with the listening points, it's just the haptic. So I make all kinds of installations that trigger the with vibration, that trigger the senses in an unexpected and unnormal way. And so that's the idea.
So you're trying to provide opportunities for those two mechanisms to enact themselves, reinforcing.
I think that's very. I think it's very. I think it's. I'm working on it by letting people experience several senses, and that, for example. People are standing in the shoes, in the shoes, in the soundscape shoes, and then they are questioning, I don't know, do I feel it, do I hear it? That kind. So it's just a starting point of, hey, I'm closing my eyes, but I still don't know. So it's also about deprivation of senses, and sometimes also about triggering the senses in a strange way. It's also like doing a tetrasonic intervention in the public space when people are going to stand in the supersonic soundscape shoes, for example, or when they are touching. It's unnormal. So that's in a way that's also an intervention in their system of how they are using their senses.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a start for me, a starting point to question that, and to maybe from but I'm very interested in it, and also I read about aspects of how image is how sound is influenced by image, for example, and so.
Monica.
Yeah, thank you. This is really interesting to hear. also talking about feeling at home, because there you have the consumers or capitalistic force of feeling of being at home. It's a kind of abstraction of space, which we can see everywhere in the commercial sites and even in the urban planning and so on. So I think this, I appreciate that you really try to make a kind of more intimate concept of feeling at home, because when we, as when we are working with the architecture and also in the urban sites, you always have this. You really want to grip the creation of meaning in the intimate places you have explored. What is actually, because all the people you have interviewed give such. It's just an awareness of the specificity of their own places, but the feeling of being at home in a larger sense in galleries and so on, it's really a kind of abstraction of place where no one actually feels at home, but you grip their sensory and perception and emotions and so on. It's a kind of manipulation. So it's really two. What do you think of that? Because you go into one of the most the sentences you use in architecture and urban planning today, feeling at home, and it's really two.
Yeah. First of all, I think it's used commercial because it's so primal.
Yeah.
Of course, and then. The element of feeling at home in a gallery is because people have to go in the door, the exchange area. I don't know if there's more time. I have a sound example of that. I'm going from outside to inside, and but the element is that when they are so their perspective is chasing all the time. And then they are, at least they are coming in the window, and then it's getting really intimidated, because when they are in the gallery, there are a lot of reflections, and then they are close to the objects, and they are touching them, and they are feeling the voice, and then it suddenly triggers also another sense, so. And then it creates also, I think also more possibilities. More it touches people, eh? So you can say it's touch sound, but it really touches people. It has a connection. It gives that the element of vibration that and resonation that of the directness. So there are also people standing in stories of the supersonic soundscape. Shoes, and their reaction is it's very intense. It's intense, and there are also and that has nothing to do with the story. So it gives you a real other attention also, and but also the intimacy of the of the directness. So
Steven, I'm just wondering. I understand. Really, that you're making installations in locations,
and
I'm trying to understand why. Do you have anything on the net? Are you using internet? As
you mean sites to for information or
sites with the strategy that I'm trying to develop has both a sound installation in a specific physical location and something on the net and in the school system. In other words, a multiple outreach kind of thing. And what I'm wondering about is if I have to go to the gallery and see this.
Now you have to experience it. So
I have to.
You have to stand in that shoes, or you have to touch the thing.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
And that is the on location sensory perception.
Yeah.
And nothing on we're not using the word.
No.
Okay.
I'm using the internet. When you Google my name, I at the moment I don't have a site, but the internet is also used for example, I did a workshop for students and they all went to my atelier and they experienced some of my installations. And then afterward, there was a rich ideas of and discussions and so going on. So yeah, there's always the problem with people that now also because you didn't experience it. I'm just talking about it.
Yeah.
So that's always the problem.
If there's no more questions, I think we should.
Yeah, briefly, I don't think you told us exactly what the Shams piece was, or did I miss that somehow?
Yeah.
Can you describe it briefly?
Oh, yes, I can. for the. These are other wooden sound sculptures with installations. This is a bigger installation. This is called the Wooden Sound Blanket Connections. It's related to the space with all kinds of reflections and all kinds of characters that they have. And I did a multi-channel compositions with it, also with live, with musicians and that's like a standing place for people, and this is a sound bridge. And so that's a sculpture that you are you have to sit on the ground to lay, and then you are putting the sound blanket over you, and you are really in touch with it. So that other parts of your body is in touch with the sound. And you can hear, it literally change your perspective and depending. So you can ask the help of people. And I also work. This is also movable, so I also work with movable sound objects. And the sound shoes. I have also somewhere. Yes. These are the sound shoes. And so it's a combination between wooden shoes and moon boots. So I made all kind of compositions for it. I first started with this was in a barn on a healthcare farm. And I made compositions with it that for people to get just relaxed and for refreshing. And I also made that was in presented in Schorl. It was in the north of north Holland, of Holland. And there is also a story about Klaas Leeuwenkamp, and he was one of the last sheep farmers in that town, the little town. It was really a town. So that's also the historical aspect of the historical element of animal markets going away and all kinds of. And he's talking about, and then people stand in the shoes and they are getting on a sound walk. Right? They are stand still with a sound walk, and of the farmer. He's just walking, showing you your his barns, and feeding his little sheep that he has. And so, and this was on a Sense City Festival, and I also ask reactions. So I have a lot of reactions, and some and it's also depending on what your question is for the reaction. This was on the Sun City Festival in also in the North Hall in North Holland. It was an international festival for deaf people, for people with hearing abilities, and for hearing people to create also the possibility to bring people together. And that was also a great experience for me. I did also presentations for deaf people and people with hearing disabilities. And it's really nice to talk to them about hearing perspective and hearing and listening. So my idea of listening and hearing is still changing. It's just widening up. And
where does the sound come from? Is it vibrations in the shoe? So what's the sound?
Yeah, it's not only vibrations. Because there is there are speaker objects, and so the legs of the people there are also filtering the sounds that are coming directly out of the shoes, but there are also coming sounds out of here. So when you are standing in the shoes, you always always hear also the soundscape. So you are always immersed like being in a kind of sound bubble, but in a way that you are not in a way that you are very it's very attentive. So and in dim or and yeah, frequency running up, and but you are not enclosed from your surroundings, so you can still have contact. But it's really it was very nice to hear that to got some reactions of deaf people, and that they liked it. And you have deaf people that have sound memories because they were getting deaf later, and you have people that only have tactile hearing, that they have other names for it. Mm-hmm. And but the men with hearing disabilities, it was very nice to hear that, for example, he liked it very much because it was so attentive that he had the idea of I can hear it, I can feel it, and I don't miss anything. And so it was.
But if you were outside the shoes, could you hear the shoes?
Yeah.
What's the meaning by standing in the shoes then? Is it the
when you are
vibration or?
When you are standing in the shoes, then you feel the vibration under your feet and also vibrations running through your body. And there's always a chair with it, so you can sit on the chair. And then you also can slightly change the position of the shoes, like this, for example. And then your multisensorial sound perspective is really changing. When you're doing this, and then it's really widening. So it's like bending, but you can also do so, and you have slightly changed.
Why not walking in your shoes? That's my question.
Some people ask that, but for me, it's interesting to stand still with the composed and the soundscape you are experiencing, and just the subtle ways of to become aware of that, and not when you are going to walk, and it's a real other experience also.
Thank you very much.